This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. If you are a fan of fungi, you probably already know this is morel hunting season. These delicate, spongy, rich mushrooms grow sometimes in front yards, but most often you'll find them in forests. There are other delicious bites to be had in the woods as well. Chives, ramps, fiddleheads, yes, even dandelions. And so begins a whole season of fun foraging. Not everything is edible in the forest, as all wise Michiganders know. And on public land, not everything that is edible is fair game. The state's Department of Natural Resources has a website to help you figure all this out, and Rachel Cole with DNR's Forest Resources Division joins us to sort through it. So morel mushrooms, I'm guessing, are pretty close to the top of the list that of what most people enjoy foraging for. But they do have an evil twin or two out there that look like morels, but that's actually poisonous. What do you tell people who ask you about how to know the morel from other mushrooms?
The first thing I tell people is do your research before going out. It can be pretty exciting to find something in the woods and, you know, put together a basket full of delightful mushrooms. But you want to do your research and make sure you know the differences between the different kinds of mushrooms before you just start picking them willy-nilly.
For sure. Are there edible mushrooms beyond morels that are common in Oregon state parks?
Sure. Some people go after chanterelle mushrooms. You've got chicken of the woods, pheasant backs. There are quite a few edible mushrooms in Michigan, but in terms of foraging, I'd say mushrooms are advanced. So you want to connect with someone who is experienced, maybe the first few times you go out, take you out, tell you the differences, and have a good ID resource.
You know, I have yet to find one either in the woods or at a farmer's market, but I really have to say that chicken of the woods is my favorite mushroom name in the history of mushroom names.
They are beautiful. If you haven't seen one before, they're this kind of great big orange shelf mushroom. And if you're walking through the woods and you see it, it's just like glowing at you.
You know, as I mentioned, there are several different types of habitats for mushrooms, and I suppose some of that depends on the kind of mushroom that we're talking about. But is there a mushroom habitat when people are thinking about going out? Like, what kinds of forests tend to be most hospitable for the stuff that people want to find?
That's a great question. I think it depends on the kind of mushroom you're looking for. Some of them grow on trees, some grow in the leaf litter, you know, some like different types of habitats, but generally, they start coming out in the spring after a good rain. You can see that the morels, we call it popping. You know, oh, they're going to pop up in the woods now. So in the terms of morels, definitely you look for somewhere usually with leafy trees, not conifer trees, and where there's some leaf litter on the ground and not too much growth yet in terms of other plants. They like their space.
How common is it for DNR to hear about folks foraging for things, mushrooms or otherwise, that end up being poisonous, stuff to look out for? Is that something that happens every year?
I don't think we get a lot of calls and stuff like that. Mostly we get inquiries on, you know, where to look. People are excited and they, you know, they want to know how. So that's why we're trying to provide resources so people can forage safely and responsibly. But yeah, I haven't heard a lot about people necessarily getting into trouble, which is a good thing. But again, that reinforces the need to make sure that you properly ID something before you eat it. And even if you do properly ID it, some people might still have a reaction. So that's something to consider. So when you eat a mushroom, there's two things to think about. One, always cook it fully. And two, you know, really make sure you have it clean, you know where it's from. Make sure it's not from somewhere where you've been spraying herbicides, and just take a little bite at first. Make sure you don't have a reaction.
You know, you mentioned that it's a good idea to hook up with somebody who knows their stuff the first time you go out and do this. I guess this is a good reminder that foraging is probably a pretty pandemic-friendly activity if done properly.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to get in touch with nature, get out, you know, and some fresh air, and you don't necessarily need to be in a crowded space to go and enjoy something and have fun.
It's probably better if it's not as crowded so things aren't so picked over.
Well, exactly.
Beyond mushrooms, what other fun spring or summer foraging can be had in the state parks and on public lands?
Sure. So on public lands, some of the things you can pick are tree fruits. You can look at nuts and berries. Again, berries are great entry level. They're very recognizable, and most of them don't have dangerous lookalikes. So coming into June, July, we're going to be seeing Juneberries, also called service berries. You know, we've got wild strawberries, then you're looking at blueberries, and then the bramble family later in the summer. So all sorts of tasty things to look for.
I was interested to hear you say nuts. What kind of nuts are native to Michigan?
So we have acorns, chestnuts, hazelnuts out in the woods, hickory nuts. Some of them can be a little harder to find and you have to know how to process them, but all very edible. I've had a fail with acorns before, but I'm going to try again.
Wait a minute. What is an acorn fail exactly? I need to hear this story.
Well, if you're looking at acorns, they can be a little bit bitter. So what I have learned is that you can eat them, but you really want to look for the acorns in the white oak family. And I chose red. So anyone who knows will know that the tannins are enough to make you pucker, kind of like a glass of red wine.
What edible things are off limits when we're out on public lands?
Sure. That's a good question. So on public lands, you don't want to take anything where you kill the plant. So I know they're very popular, but wild ramps, they can take up to 7 years to reproduce. So if you are cutting that plant, killing it, that is not okay. But if you have private land, you know, go for it. But just think about taking them sparingly since they don't regenerate very fast.
Right. Do you do a lot of forest foraging yourself?
It's something I've been getting into. I mean, I have, you know, great memories of going berry picking with my grandparents, or my dad has always, you know, taken me out morel hunting in the spring. So it's something that I've always been excited about. And working in forestry has taught me that a lot of people are really interested in this information. So as much as we can share safe and responsible foraging, that's something I'd like to do.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite preparation or recipe that you've discovered that you could tell us about?
That's a great question. I think, honestly, the humble dandelion is something that is really exciting because you can eat almost every part of it. So when I see them pop in the spring, I think it's really exciting. A lot of people get mad when they see them in their yard and I go, ooh, tasty. So, right?
So what do you do with your dandelions?
Sure. The greens, I really like to make a salad out of. They're a little bit bitter, so they're a bit like arugula. You can use them like that. You want to look for the small young ones. And the dandelion flowers, I have fried them like a fritter. They make a great crouton or something for dipping, or you can, if you have the experience, go ahead and make wine out of them.
Rachel Cole of the Department of Natural Resources Forest Resources Division. Rachel, thank you so much for your time. It's been fun talking to you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.